Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. The end of this broadcast, beginning at 8 o'clock to 8:30, we have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs on public access channel number 6 on your television set. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. We have all these radio programs there. TV programs can be downloaded there. We also have free correspondence courses you can take by email. We have invitations for a private Bible study and just a host of other things that will aid you in your study of God's written Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you in any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received, and all we want you to do is come and study and worship the Lord with us. A few weeks ago, we began looking at the subject of homosexuality. And last week, we looked at God's definition and God's understanding of that sexual conduct and saw what His attitude was about it. Today, we want to continue by looking, first of all, that there are various terms used besides the word homosexual that has to do with that particular sexual orientation. You have the word gay that now is talking about the homosexual lifestyle. Sodomite, that's another word that is termed in lesbians. That's another word that goes in with the homosexual lifestyle and the homosexual agenda. Now, what about the practices of the homosexual? Well, it depends on what you read or where you go to get your information, but the internet where I went out and looked at the conduct of homosexuals and the written by their own people, one of the things that I looked at says a homosexual during his lifetime can have as many as 500 partners. Also, they contact one another through magazines that are written especially to the homosexual. Also, contacts can be made on the internet in the chat rooms. Also, they have meeting places. They meet sometimes at malls, in restrooms, and in rest areas. And they have codes and signals that they have of the relationship to tell other men or other women that they are either homosexual or they are either bisexual. And so they have their own little code and their own little signals that they have in order to let people know that they are available. And one of the things I found very interesting about the number of partners that they have is that there's been lots of information and lots of studies done about the deadly disease of AIDS. And yet with all the information that's out there and the number one leading indicator how men and women contract it is by homosexual lifestyle, and also by the drug paraphernalia using dirty needles. It's one of the two leading causes that lead to AIDS, and yet all that information that's been very forthright and been very much in the news has not changed their attitude about having multiple partners. Again, it just shows that the only concern is for their own pleasure, for what they desire, for what they want. And the risk doesn't seem to matter. It's what they desire and what they want. And so that's the practices. In the Bible, it uses a number of terms to describe the homosexual. The word homosexual is used itself in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, as we read last week. Sodomites are used in the same passage. And then we have the abusers of themselves with mankind. That is used in the King James Version in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. The word perversion is used in Deuteronomy 23, verse 17, and 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. And another term that's used in the scriptures twice that has reference to homosexual conduct is the word dogs in Deuteronomy 23, verse 18, and in Revelation 22 and verse 15. And so these are various terms that the Bible uses to define and to identify the conduct and the lifestyle of those who practice homosexuality. Now, I want to make no misunderstanding about this, that this homosexuality is sinful. It is just plain sinful. Why? Number one, it violates God's plan for sexuality. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, God said that marriage is honorable and the bed's undefiled, and God will judge adulterers and whoremongers. God said the marriage bed is undefiled. That marriage bed was made up of one man and one woman and the one flesh relationship. And when you have two men or two women, that violates God's divine plan for the enjoyment of sexual activity. Fornication. It is sinful because it is fornication. And so 1 Corinthians 6:18 calls that sin. In Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we read that it was against nature. It was not natural. It was shameful. It was conduct that came from something from a debased mind, something that did something that was not fitting. And so it's not natural. It's not a natural occurrence. They want us to believe that two men and two women are just as natural as one man and one woman. That's false. It's not natural. It's against nature. And I'll just give you one argument that I would use. One man and one woman can procreate the race. Can two men do that? Can two women do that? No, they can't do that. Why? Because God sent in order a divine law that and a physical law and a spiritual law that everything produces after its kind. Two men and two women can't produce another man or another woman. That can't be done. Why? Because it's not possible. Why? Because it's not natural. It's against nature. Even science and even the honesty would compel us to know that they can't procreate their race. Why? Because it's not possible. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says that it is specifically forbidden. It is specifically forbidden, and those who practice such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God has made his understanding and his definition and what he believes it is very plain and very clear. Homosexuality is not a political issue. It is a moral issue. It's immorality. It's sexual immorality. And it will cost a person his soul if they do not repent and turn away from that lifestyle. But now I want to spend a few moments today, and we'll get more into this next Lord's Day. I want to talk for a few moments about the homosexual agenda. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, the homosexual just does not want to have the right to get married, to be issued a marriage license, and to be able to get married to their boyfriend or their girlfriend. They want more than that, and they have an agenda. And I want to talk to you about their agenda, and they're very good at their agenda, and they've been very successful in getting their message out. There were two men who were Harvard educated, and they were marketing professors, and their names were Marshall Kirk and Hunter Matson. And they authored the acknowledged PR Bible of the gay and rights movement. It's the public relations Bible and the foundation of how they were going to go about getting their desire of being able to be married to same sex and get it acceptable in society and get society to allow them to do it. They're going to do this in a movement by three different things. Number one is desensitization. They're going to desensitize our senses about this conduct of homosexuality. The second point was going to be jamming. And the third was going to be conversion. And so we want to look at these three parts of their agenda and how they are perpetrating them. The first order of business, according to their writings in their PR book, is to desensitize of the American public concerning gays and gay rights. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference instead of with keen emotion. Ideally, we would have straight registered differences in sexual preferences the way they register different tastes for ice cream or sport games, at least in the beginning. We are seeking the public desensitization and nothing more. They want us to look at homosexuality as no different as what flavor ice cream you like. If you like vanilla, if you like chocolate, if you like strawberry, it really doesn't matter. All ice cream is the same, except there are different flavors. They want us to look at homosexuality in the same line. Homosexuality is just a different type of sexual lifestyle. It's no different than heterosexual, and it's just another type of sexual behavior. That's how they want us to view it. And they're busy desensitizing us so that we will not have any deep-seated emotion about their lifestyle and about their practice. He goes on to say, we do not need and cannot expect a full appreciation or understanding of homosexuality from the average American. You can forget about trying to persuade the masses that homosexuality is a good thing, but if only you can get them to think that it's just another thing, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. You see, that's their aim. That's where they're going. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get us to look at it as nothing more than a choice that men make. It's no different than if you choose a Ford or a Chevy or a Lincoln or a Honda or a Kia or a Mercury. It doesn't matter. Cars are cars. Everybody has their own life. And it doesn't matter which car you choose, whatever suits your purposes and whatever seems right for you. They want us to look at sexual orientation and sexual behavior in the same way. That it really doesn't matter what type of sexual orientation that people practice, is just one of many choices. And their literature says that if you can get them to think that it's just another choice among choices, then the battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. And so that is what their aim is. That's what their purpose is. They just don't want to have the right to get married. They want you to acknowledge that they are as normal and as civilized, and their lifestyle is just as acceptable as any heterosexual relationship. That is what they're trying to do. Desensitization. Now, how are you going to desensitize society? Well, it continues, consists of flooding the public in a continuous flood of gay-related advertising presented in the least offensive fashion possible. Use the entertainment industry, news media, public schools, politicians, judiciary system. The ideal is to change how Americans think about homosexuality. Ladies and gentlemen, it is in an accident that primetime television, that means between 6 and 9 o'clock time that programs are on your television, that during those 3 hours of primetime television, that those shows, 50% of them, formulate homosexuality in a very favorable light. Some shows are about homosexual couples, whether they're men or women, or they have a homosexual man or woman in the show, and it portrays it as an ordinary manner of life. That is to try to desensitize us. They have the media. The media is in their pocket. The media is beating the drum. They have the president. The president is trying to further their agenda. And they're making the argument, and they got the judicial people in it and the politician in it by making it not an act of morality, but an act of civil rights. That is a deception. That is a move to try to desensitize what the conduct really is. The conduct is not about civil rights, it's about morality. And it's about whether that morality is normal. Is it something that God condones, or is it to be refused because it is sexual immorality? And so they are trying to desensitize us, and they have become very good at, and they have become very successful in doing that. Please continue to listen next week, and we will talk about the next 2 points on the homosexual agenda. Thank you for listening.